Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to Metaphysical Universe for Wednesday, May 21st, 2014. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Good evening. Glad to be here, Doug.
Yes, we'd like to welcome those who are listening to the program live as well as those listening to the archives. Nice to have you. Glad you could join us tonight. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. This is one of our educational programs. We have others as well. We have the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, which offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics. We also have the International College of Humanistic Science, where you can take standalone and certification courses in various metaphysical topics. For more information on those, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org or ichsworld.org. For more information on MCHS Church, visit mchschurch.org. See how that all works? It's pretty straightforward. Anyway, again, glad to have everyone with us tonight. The topic for tonight is about fear and being paralyzed by fear and what you can do and why it's so important to get past that. We, of course, have Michael on in the screening room, so if you have a comment or a question or would like to discuss your fear, please call in. The numbers are on your screen, or if you have Skype, you can click on the Skype button and get to us that way. All right, so Vicki, tell us all, everything we always want to know about fear, but was, afraid to ask.
Well, I'm nervous.
Right.
You know, fear is like my best friend, really. When I was even young, I remember my first time I ever gave a talk at Toastmasters, and I did, because I had this fear of public speaking, I actually did that. And I think I was about 21 at the time. But you know when your mouth goes dry, your lips start quivering, your legs go shaky, you know? And you do it anyway. That's what I say, do it anyway, because it's overcoming a fear. And for many years, I would, on my birthday, do a projection for the year and say, okay, I know I have a fear of this, a fear of that, and I would challenge it because for me, I realized that fears were seizing up my life, and I didn't like not feeling in control. So this is a great topic for me to talk about because I do know how much it can paralyze your life. And I think for the most part, honestly, I think it's we don't like to be separate from other people. We don't necessarily like to stand up on our own, step out there. We're afraid of what people think. And I really think it's all about our individuality and becoming more of who we are. But boy, to get through that, across that bridge, Doug, it's a tough one. It can really be a tough one.
It can. You know, fear is such a huge thing. Fear is even bigger than what we're thinking of it. You know, it's just bigger than we even think it is. Fear holds us all back. All through our lives, fear holds us back. One thing or another, whether it's, you know, striking up a conversation with a pretty girl or a good-looking guy or whatever, or if it's a new job interview or even applying for a particular job, there's so many examples. And the more I think about this, these experiences just flood in. For example, a few years back, this was actually a very interesting experience for me. It involved my intuitive abilities, which it was one of the more pronounced times. It was in Birmingham, Alabama. I was there doing seminars, and I, as usual, got up in the morning early and went down to set up my seminar room, and it was about 7, and there's usually somebody there at the hotel who assists, you know, who you deal with. And there was a nice lady there, and she's very sharp, very, very competent. And this was more on the smaller motel or hotel. It wasn't a big one. And I could just quickly see that this lady, I mean, she was really good. She was capable of so much more and so much bigger. And so, you know, we discussed, we chatted here and there and so forth. So seminar starts. We have our mid-morning break around 10:15 or whatever it was. And as you come out of the seminar room, her office was directly across the hall, and she was there sitting at her desk. And I just chatted with her for a second, then went and took a break. And it just kept hitting me. I mean, she does not belong here. She does not belong here. This is not for her. She's something bigger and better and out there, and this is just not where she belongs. I didn't say anything at that point, but went back to the seminar. We broke for lunch around noon or so. Everybody left. And I was last one out of the room, and she's, again, sitting at her desk across the hall in her office. And so I, again, greeted her, said, how are things going? And she said, fine. She asked me how things were going. I said, they're going great. And I looked at her, and I said, you know, and this was almost like me listening to me. It was like some other person talking. And I said to her, you know, whatever it is that you are thinking about doing, you need to do, because you don't belong here. You're capable of so much more. You need to go after that. That's what you need to do. And she looked at me with this shocked look on her face. And then I looked at me with this shocked look on my face, because I'm thinking, who is this guy? Where'd these words come from? It was kind of surreal a bit. And she says, how could you possibly know? And I says, look, I don't even know anything. I just know you don't belong here. And she says, wow, I was just sitting here looking at an application, and I've been hesitant to submit it because I don't know if I'm qualified. And I said, submit it. You're qualified. I don't care what position it's for. It was in the event business, you know, and entertainment, that sort of what she was doing at the hotel. I says, you're very well qualified. You're better than anybody else I've seen. Go for it. Do it. Well, long story short, or is it too late for that? She did submit it, and she got the job, got the position, and she thanked me later. We communicated by email later. She thanked me later for encouraging her to do that. So she was sitting here, you know, at this job. It was a good enough job, but it wasn't worthy of her. She could do so much better. But she was afraid to submit the application. When she did, she was thankful, you know.
But that rests my case about acceptance of other people, too. She needed a nudge. And
yeah.
you gave her that extra boost or that confidence or that something that, yeah, do it. It's that, you know, why wouldn't she have done that on her own? And it took somebody else giving a bit of encouragement. And that's not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong.
I'll do that.
But you see, I think that this is part of what I said earlier about people are worried about what somebody else will think. Can I do it? What would people think? What if I didn't get it? Mm-hmm. You know, am I stepping over my, you know, my boundaries or my talents? Or, and all that doubt comes in, so it does.
Well,
it obviously it paralyzed her.
Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes all we need is an encouraging word. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but hopefully in the process we learned that lesson along the way that, you know what, I am who I am. I'm going to go for it because I'll get exactly 0% of the shots I never take. But if I take a shot, at least I have a chance. And so that was just that just came to mind. That's one example. There are so many things. I'll just go ahead and give some background on myself, too. If I had listened to my fears, we wouldn't be talking right now. This is an interesting thing to finally figure it out after, gosh, several years of, you know, we get enrollment applications at IMHS, and every now and then we get the application but no tuition payment. Well, of course, we can't do anything without a tuition payment. And sometimes it goes in cycles, too. We'll get a few applications, and there won't be the tuition payment. And, you know, the applications are nice. They're good. They're they're great, and so I'll email them and I'll never hear back from them. And it just confounded me for the longest time. Is there something wrong with our tuition payment page? You know, what could possibly have gone wrong? What's the deal? I don't understand. They went to all this effort to fill out the application, but then there's no tuition payment. They won't answer my emails. They won't reply. And, you know, this went on for a few years. And finally, had another one happen, and the person actually communicated with me. And it dawned on me what was going on. It was like a revelation. It was like they get cold feet. And it makes so much sense. And so, you know, what am I going to do with this? I fill out the application. Then when push comes to shove, they bail. They get cold feet. They don't know, because they don't know us. They don't know how wonderful we are, right? Just ask us. We'll tell you. And so they're looking at this thing and commitment, and they get cold feet. Well, think about actually starting the school and the church and all this stuff that's there. That takes... You know, it takes some experience, and it takes some life experience, really. It does. But I wouldn't have done it if I hadn't had these episodes in previous years where I had felt that fear but went ahead. Anyway, I remember back when I was about 30. I was about 30 years old, about 30, 31, right in there. It was about 7 months ago. And do you believe that?
It's just going to take long.
I wouldn't.
30 years.
Yeah. I'm kidding. No, I wouldn't believe that. That was a lie. Okay, so this is about 25 years ago now, and I had been an office equipment technician for several years, and I had gone into sales for a couple years, and had done a good job for this company I worked for, and I finally decided, I'd like to have my own company. I'd like to have my own office equipment dealership. I would like to be a dealer principal. And when I thought of that, I'm thinking, oh, wow, Doug, what are you going to do? I mean, wow, this is big time here. This is a whole different league, a whole different realm. You haven't experienced this before. And there was a lot of fear and a lot of doubts. And I pushed ahead. I thought, hey, if they can do it, I can do it. But I still had the fears. And so I got a Konica dealership. And I started out small, and I built it, and I had it for 6 years before I sold it to a bigger company, and that's when I moved to Florida here. This all went down in South Dakota, anyway, in the Black Hills. And so, but I remember talking with friends, too, who were in my business, who were also technicians or salespeople, and they were, wow, this is a big step. And it's so interesting, because once I made that step, once I became a dealer principal, quote unquote, now I was in a whole different position. And I was never the same after that. I could never look at the business as a technician only or as a salesperson only. Now I'm looking at a much broader view. And that was excellent experience. It was the hardest thing I'd ever done. And, you know, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears literally into that business. But it worked out. And I made it happen. And that's when I started getting my life education on business and making things happen. But if I hadn't, we wouldn't be here.
Don't you think, though, that part of that, okay, I go from a sales guy to an owner, it's way out of your comfort zone. It's like you're making this huge life change. You're changing your psyche. And along with that, I gotta believe that changes your circle of friends.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It changes everything. So it's, again, not just the point about can I do this, but what awaits me, like what kind of world waits for me. Mm-hmm. And it's that unknown and, oh, well, if I go there, then I have to leave here. You know, it's like making the choice to move from the Dakotas to Florida was a huge change, and that's got to be scary business. So,
well, yeah.
You know, you add in all the different kinds of fears, and yet for me, Doug, and I can relate to what you're saying, but for me it was the fear of water. I mean, I drowned when I was 5, so I have a terrifying fear of water. And I just said, this is ridiculous because it's really limiting my life. And I decided to go swimming and learn how to at least float. So I figured if I can float, I'm good. But I still don't like to go in water. the thing is, I wanted to challenge that fear. The other fear I had was of guns and weapons, for good reason in my life. So I went and I took a gun course. Do you know, a weapons course, and I got my certification. This is way back in the 90s. And I just wanted to challenge myself to overcome that kind of fear. Now, I think everybody has those little kinds of fears, not just about should I take this job or that job, but little fears that kind of I call brushstroke in our lives where, you know, we have those twinges or mm-hmm. our brain reroutes and mm-hmm. we can't have that conversation or we can't do this or I can't go there. And that's that fearfulness. And then it goes into, I think, often for people, OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. You know, did I unplug the coffee pot? Did I, you know, and so fears can go way far. If we let one fear grow like a bad weed, then next thing you know, you got a whole lawn of weeds. mm-hmm. And then you just paralyze and stay put. Well, life is all about change. I think that life is going to change anyway. I like to be in the driver's seat. So that's another, you know, point that I like to take is I got to be in control of me. And I think you were doing that too when you were getting a business, when you move across the country. You are in your own driver's seat and willing to take on that challenge. But you have to, there's a little bridge you got to cross in there about leaving the life behind to move forward, but it's doing that anyway, and that's a reality about life.
You brought up a good point when you talked about you were afraid of guns, and so you learned about guns. Let me tell you another, let me branch off of that and make another, a big comment on it, a big point on it. You know, growing up Christian throughout my life, I was always afraid of the devil and demons and all that. Of course, we were always taught that ghosts and are just demons anyway. And so anytime any unexplained stuff would happen, and it didn't really happen much, but if it were to happen, it was just demons. They were out to get you because, you know, they don't want you to serve God and yada, 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 all that stuff. So the main point here is I was afraid of them, and a lot of people are. And so I left that years ago, and probably, I don't know, five or six years after leaving that, I had finally decided to start my own paranormal research group. And I had always wanted to do that all my life, but was never in a position to do that. Well, I began to study a lot, and I had already studied a lot, and I'd left the Christianity back in when I was 40, about 15 years ago now. And so those first few years was, you know, retraining me, relearning about things. And so I started my group, and, you know, and no longer really had much of a fear because I had educated myself. And it got to the point where it didn't matter, you know, can you be startled? Sure. But I was never afraid of any of it. And it got to a point where I was trying to do my research, and I'd ask everybody from, you know, Beelzebub to angels to show up and let's talk because I have questions. And of course, they never did. But the point is I have absolutely zero fear of that. I mean, zero fear of all of that. And here's the point I want to make, because this applies to far more than just paranormal research or ghosts or spirits. Here's the point. Knowledge cancels fear. So if you are afraid of something, you need more data. Learn about it. Embrace it, just like you did with guns. You know, go out and learn about what you're afraid of. For example, the lady at the hotel who was afraid to submit the application, if she knew that that application would be accepted and she could do no wrong, would she be afraid anymore? Of course not. Knowledge cancels fear. So if you're afraid of it, learn about it and get rid of that fear.
The only reason I laughed earlier, I thought you were going to lie about your age again.
I don't lie about my age. 29.
That's right. You know, in my counseling practice, Doug, I deal with fear all the time with people, particularly in relationships, and I think this is probably a good place to insert this about, am I doing the right thing? The fear of not being able to give enough, the fear of I'm not understanding enough, If I don't tolerate certain behavior, then I'm not a compassionate human being. The fear of being on my own, the fear of being broke, the fear of. And in relationships, it is so multi-layered in all kinds of fears, you know, that takes all those little fears start to bleed off into the rest of our life about, well, if I can't do this relationship well, I'm certainly not going to be good at a job. So when we start to fail, and because fail and fear all kind of wrap in the same boat here, it just starts to get its own momentum. And what you talk about this brilliantly about, energy signatures. So it's that it starts to propel, and it starts to get carried away, and we start to question everything, and we start to break down. Honestly, I think that's what happens. So the building up, how to correct that, you say about knowledge, well, self-knowledge. You know, it really is not just knowledge about the paranormal or, you know, that job or, you know, weapons or any of those things or just swimming. It's also about that internal, who am I, what am I, am I doing my best? Because that's a big thing. Am I doing my best? And finding out the good stuff, remembering the things that we do well, and we are good at it, even if it's baking apple pie. I'm good at an apple pie. And start building on that good stuff so that frequency starts to go out there. And again, you call it the signature. I call it a frequency. It doesn't matter what language you use. But you start to find that, you know, esteem yourself in a positive way rather than the negative. Will there be loss? When you make a change, and I think this is key to it, will there be loss? Yes. But the knowledge is greater than what you knew before, so there's no loss. There's actually a building. But it's, again, of the people. Well, if I learn more about myself, what if my husband doesn't like me anymore? Well, then he doesn't like you now. You know, ooh, that's a thought. You see, there's a sensibility and a critical thinking that can kick in when we're dealing with any kind of a fear. So where there's, you know, one question, we have to go to another part of the dial and ask a different question. If you can visualize that in your mind for a moment and start asking the questions around, like, think about it like a clock. Find 12 questions for yourself. And then it comes down to, well, why not do it? Why wouldn't I want more? Why wouldn't I want to challenge that? So I think fear then loosens its grip, if you will, that paralyzing feeling. It starts to move. But one of the exercises that I offer anybody is, if you're feeling a fear, go with it, put a clock on it. I'm big on clocks. And just say 10 minutes. Go with the fear, ride it out, give it all it's got, 10 minutes, and now what? And then move the mind, because the mind starts to trick itself and it patterns. So to break that pattern is to go to another part of the dial, which would be 10 minutes on a clock, and think about something else. And, you know, there's lots of little tricks and mechanisms that you can, start to kind of apply to yourself. But that's a really good start. So, you know.
Well, let's branch off of that.
Sure.
I'll just invite the audience, if you're listening to this, think about a time in your life that you were afraid to make a change or to do something, but you did anyway. And it turned out with a lot of good results. In other words, yeah, your life may have changed, but in the end, it was the right thing to do. Think about a time like that. You were afraid to make the change, but you finally did, and it worked out. And in fact, if you hadn't have made that change, you wouldn't be where you are right now. We all have stories like that. And so that underscores the idea, the concept that the fear that paralyzes you is the key that can set you free. If you cave into the fear, you'll not go anywhere. If you feel the fear and do it anyway, you control fear. Do what you fear most and you control fear. And so you have to ask, what is the trade-off? Anytime we make a change or we want something, there's always an exchange. We talked about this last week, value for value. There's a trade-off. If it's ending a relationship, well, you're trading the relationship for something else. It could be peace of mind. It could be a lot of things, but you're trading for something. And Dr. Vicky says trade up. Sometimes that's what it is. A lot of times that's what it is. In fact, when we trade for something, it's usually a trade up, at least in our own estimation. If you want to lose weight, for example, if there's a trade off, you know, you've got to exercise, you can't eat the wrong stuff. You're trading that for for losing some weight, for having a smaller, healthier body, whatever it is you want to do. So what's the trade? So you think of the fear. Okay, I'm afraid of this change. I'm afraid of making this change. What am I afraid of? Don't forget, knowledge cancels fear. So educate yourself about it. But what's the trade-off? What's the exchange? And determine that. And then determine whether or not that's what you want. Because if you don't seize that, and if you don't embrace that fear and move forward and not let it hold you back, you won't get anywhere. You won't succeed. You won't see the kind of success that you're really wanting to see. You just won't. Because everybody's afraid, folks. I mean, anybody you see out there who's done anything significant, they were afraid at some point. They had self-doubts. They weren't sure it's going to work. They took a calculated risk. Everybody. I don't care who they are. So if you look at somebody, I'll bet you they were never afraid. Wrong answer. Of course they were afraid, but they didn't let it hold them back. That's the key. So that fear that paralyzes you is the key. It's literally like taking the key and unlocking your future. But you have to embrace it.
You know, one of the things that I encounter with people all the time, and I crossed the bridge myself, is the fear of your own power. People often say they're afraid of their dark side. Well, really, there's all your power. You know, and again, we're dealing with issues within ourselves that hold us back, or things that we're capable of in ourselves that we don't like. But once you embrace that other part of yourself, then that darkness is absorbed in, and then you find a greater amount of power. So it's like a transformation. Think of it as an energetic transformation. So being afraid of your own power, what am I capable of? Well, geez. You know, Doug, honestly, in all the times I've been scared to death in my life, and every time I do make a change, it seizes me up for a second. I say, whoa, this big change again. Is it going to work? Is it going to work? Following my own soul's journey is more important to me than anyone, anything else there is around. And I appreciate other people's input, their opinions. You know, they got observations. That's a nice thing. But they're not me following my own journey. And, you know, I've done a lot of stuff in my life, and I just keep those wheels turning because I want to cover as much ground as possible. There are threads of consistency, but I like to keep changing it up. And I thrive for it, but I also like to be in control of it. But then you can't be in control of it because you're going into the unknown. So it's a really interesting power struggle inside. You know, but once you get kind of a handle on it and you say, well, you know, what have I got to lose? Okay, I could lose everything. Then I could gain. And I would like to, at this point, take hats off to our Dr. Dan Jablonski, who recently started a school, a healing school, and found out that in his state there's all kinds of regulations that he was faced with, and wow, he'd invested all his time and work. And okay, let's take a time out here. So for a day or two he thought about it, and he just went and built a different kind of business. Mm-hmm. And he's not stopping, Dr. Dan. And now he's Jablonski Wellness, and setting up the school in a different way. Because when the desire outweighs the fear, and when your dreams outweigh, you know, where you've been, you will do it. You know, you will get going.
Yeah,
I believe that.
Good example. You know, and here's another caveat to this whole thing, too. The older you get, the less you generally fear. At least that's been my experience. Maybe it's not true for everybody. But at this point in my life, why not? You know, it's like finally after all my history of feeling the fear and doing it anyway, when it came time 4 years ago to start the church and the school, I basically said, why not? How hard can it be? And you know, just because, look, if they've done it, if other people can do it, I can certainly do it, and I can probably do it better. And so that's just been my experience in life. So I did, and I did a bang up job, and it took a lot of time and a lot of effort. But I never thought, well, gee, what if nobody does it? What if nobody comes? What if nobody wants it or is interested? Threw it against the wall to see if it stick. Remember, how hard can it be? You know, so have that attitude, whatever it is. Life's way too short, and life is way too long to be paralyzed with fear, because you got to go out and live life. Like I've talked about many times, go out and happen to life. You know, you got to go out and happen. So don't let the fear cripple you. Educate yourself, move past it, and you will reap the benefits, I promise you, because life is like one chapter after another, isn't it? You know, we go a certain length of time, that's a chapter. Well, chapters close, and yet other chapters open, or doors close, and other doors open, whichever you want to use. But that's life. You can't just stay put. As everyone I'm sure has heard this, the only thing that's consistent in life is change. So you have to learn to embrace change. And if you're an analytical of sorts, you probably hate change. A lot of people do. But that's what life is all about. Life is about change. And don't be afraid of it. Just because you got to do something a little bit different doesn't mean that it's not good. Doesn't mean that it won't open up horizons and opportunities for you.
Well, you did an amazing job with this school, and you know, I threatened myself a couple of times in my life about starting an organization or a church or a school and such. And then when I came across you, I went, "Whoa! Look, I don't have to reinvent the wheel." I love that. So I could, and thankfully, you were so open to this, Doug, that I could take my contributions and offer them to your, you know, what mm-hmm. you were building. And find a way in there, because here's what I really would like to also get across to people is don't power struggle. When you power struggle and you vie for position, then it really is in conflict with that do no harm, do right. You just move forward and do your best and find a place to fit. You don't have to one up, one out, one over on anybody. You just find your way through. And then very often in life, especially in business, we think that there's a different set of rules. Well, you know, yeah, okay, there's the game of economics, there's, you know, information on a need-to-know basis and so on. But I think that's life anyway. But use some integrity to find ways that we can, you know, kind of bridge into how to help each other and, you know, get the message out there that everybody can have what they want. I really believe this. If you want something, you start to move forward to get it. And if there's somebody else doing it, find a way to connect with that. This is networking. You know, I don't need the thing about, you know, have my own school. I have my own work, which is good enough for me. But here's the deal. If I really wanted my own school, really wanted it, I would have gone and done it. It would have cost me a lot more than Doug Kelly. You had, I mean, you're brilliant, Doug. You could do the computer work and the websites and the stuff, which I'm completely inept with, getting better. But again, I had a fear of computers. Whoa, there's some. But I also had you to help me through a lot of the programming, and my desire to get through the fear and do it was greater than that, well, I'll just get somebody else to do it for me. You see?
Yeah.
And so I think, go ahead.
You finish, then I'll comment.
Well, I was going to say, don't have others do for you what you can do for yourself. And sometimes it's quicker to have somebody else. If you got, you know, a big company and you're delegating, you've got to get other people to do things. But in general life, do it for yourself and stay out of other people's way when they can do it for themselves. But we can be allies to each other. So that is my point. So not about the power thing. The power thing is, you know, the fear of other people having power over us, the fear of me having, you know, no power at all. It just gets really gray, and it adds again to that feeding frenzy of fear.
Good points. And I just think it would be good to comment too. It's kind of funny because it's been 3 years now since Vicki's been here as part of this, and she went through the program, But I remember back when she had found it and emailed me, and she started with the ordination first, and then she said, I've got to go to Sedona, and then when I come back, I want to talk to you. You know, okay. I didn't know who she was. Didn't know anything really about her, but I thought, fair enough, I'm open. Fine, we can talk. Oh, she's psychic? Cool. We'll see about that. And so, you know, she goes to Sedona, she comes back, and we end up talking on Skype, chatting, and of course we hit it off right away. But here's the thing. Basically, she came and happened to IMHS. You know what I mean? I've been talking about go out and happen to life. Well, she came in and happened to IMHS. And how many people do that? Nobody does that. It's like, well, I don't know these people. You know, will they accept me? I don't, you know. None of that was there. That was odd. Felt tapped on the shoulder. Anyway, so she comes in and happens, and we hit it off. We talked. She was psychic, and there was some amazing stuff that came out of that right early on. And one thing led to another, and here she is, you know, on the board of directors of MCHS Church. So if she's a government plant, she did a great job. But being from Canada, she got the wrong country here. So,
anyway. And by the way, I still am kind of psychic. When she was psychic, it is to
you still are a little bit.
Yeah.
Really,
you know,
good.
It was a challenge, and I really want to qualify. Well, I had to take a trip, come back. It was a very big deal. I was 55 years old, making a huge amount of changes in my life, which were very scary. So we talk about fear. We all have them all the time. And I needed to just be with me and my spirits for a little bit, come back and talk to you. And I don't know where I got off thinking I had to talk to you about this. You know, it's just, I guess I knew at some level of consciousness it was more than just going to school. But at that time, in my front mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to go to school, I'm 55, I'm dyslexic. These were things I needed to talk to you about. And I don't know how well I'm going to do this school thing. I haven't been to school for so many years. So there's all that trepidation, mm-hmm. you see. But also, I felt this draw, because I had spirits in my head, you know, this draw to, it was this magnet, a gravity that pulled me in, that far outweighed my fears. But I did need to just stop and breathe for a moment, which I was going to Sedona, and I needed to sit my butt on a vortex and come back and say, okay, I'm ready, let's go. So I guess that goes with why I always say push the pause button. When you're having an anxiety attack, when you don't know what you're doing, the fear starts seizing you up, just push the pause button. If it means a couple of days in Sedona, do that too. Great place.
Mm-hmm.
But it can also just be that stop, don't say no before you say, give me a minute to think about it, and so that you can move into the yes without shooting yourself in the foot, you know, that kind of thing. But as it turned out, you were very receptive, Doug, and it just worked.
Well, it's one of the things, you know, and that's my attitude. I'm always looking for good people, and always, there's always places, you know, there's always positions, there's always a place for great people of like mind who want to further the vision, who want to, you know, further this goal of leaving the woodpile higher, and we found it in the way that I've done the MCHS and so forth. So I'm always looking, and I'm always open, and I think that openness, a lot of people are not prepared for it. They think, oh, they're just going to give me the cold shoulder, and, you know, customer service is so crappy these days, online or offline, doesn't matter. It's just usually, not always, but usually so crappy. And you just get the idea they just don't care. They're indifferent, which is the worst of all. But that's not the way here. You know, I care, and I'm looking. And so there's opportunities for people who want to avail themselves of them. And a lot of people are not ready for that openness.
Well, there's lots of new courses. We have new instructors. It's expanded. And I'm talking in the we at this point, but mm-hmm. it is Dr. Kelly's school. And it's, again, that openness to building something where I have my own work, my own business, my own thing, but I have, you know, a very big investment now into the well-being and growth of IMHS and MCHS and ICHS world, of course.
All the HSs.
All the HSs, because my courses are there too. And I'm a part of, you know, the student coordinating and just contributing whatever I can in that capacity to help it grow. And look, not that there can be any more student coordinators, I'll have you know, everybody. That's my job. And, but if it meant somebody else coming in to do that where I could get bumped up and over to something greater, I'm good with that too, because it's wherever we continue to grow and apply ourselves. So my point there is never be afraid of being replaceable, because we're all replaceable.
Well, that's a sign of a good leader, is to train your replacements.
And then keep going with what we do, that we keep growing and expanding our life. And it's fear holds us back, what we've been saying this you know, throughout the whole show. And just all these little things that we can have this inner dialogue with ourselves, you know, to stop that and be able to move forward. And even if it's one little step at a time, little step makes a big difference.
So, folks, remember, the fear that paralyzes you is the key that can set you free. And the can is because, whether you use it or not, it's like you put your key in the lock. You can put it in the lock, but you don't have to turn it. Well, if you turn it, it will set you free. So remember that this fear that you feel, get rid of it, or feel it for all it's worth, and move past it. Embrace it. Go forward, because life is way too short and it's way too long. Knowledge cancels fear. Go learn about it. Get the knowledge you need. And don't let them esteem hold you back. You know, just, it's your path. I've always said that. It's your path. You got to walk it. If you don't walk it, nobody will walk it. So it won't be walked. So go walk your path. You know, like the Admiral said during the Civil War, Farragut, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. That's the attitude that you have to have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's been another great show.
Yep.
And time is up. I can tell by the music. And I really appreciate these weekly shows again. We're back on every Wednesday night. Please tell your friends, and we'll have more.
Yes, and we'll have another topic for next week. If you would like more information on the schools, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org, ICHSworld.org. Thanks to Michael Kelly for producing behind the scenes. And thanks to everybody for listening, whether you're listening live or the archive. We appreciate your time. Please tell others and come and join us one way or another, whether it's a student or whatever. Come and help us spread this healthy message that we spread each week. Till next week. Listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.